Again, take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy. The verses that we'll focus on this afternoon are from chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So let me read those again. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's pray. Lord, again, we call upon you for your blessing. Would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? Give me the ability to communicate clearly. Lord, we want the truth. We want to know you. And so may we learn from this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this word that has been preserved throughout the ages for the benefit of your church. And Lord, even I pray that you would use this to the soul of the unbeliever to draw them to yourself as we look here. It's only through Jesus that I ask these blessings. Amen. I hope you have somewhat of a sense of the letter. Paul is near the end of his life. He says that his time of departure is soon to come. We find out of we'll see in chapter 4. He's writing to Timothy. He wants Timothy to come and visit with him, but the emphasis of the letter is for Timothy to be strengthened up for the ministry. Many times we say that Timothy must have been somewhat of a timid fellow, but nonetheless, he's called into the gospel ministry. And there's no place to be ashamed about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, for any Christian for that matter. So there is wider application from this letter for all Christians. The gospel is contained in it very clearly that we have seen. So Timothy, don't be ashamed. Timothy, you have this great responsibility to guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to you. And so we're going to find out by what power can Timothy take on such a task? Living the Christian life is not by the power of the flesh. Being a Christian minister is not by the power of the flesh. And so we see in verse 1 of chapter 2, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Before Paul tells Timothy what he ought to do as a faithful minister, we find that in following here. First, Paul must tell Timothy by what power or strength he should carry out his work, with what power he should carry out the work. If you want to get stronger, what do you do? I know that there are many in the congregation who lift weights, and there are many benefits to lifting weights. I'm looking around. I know there's a few of you out there that are serious about lifting weights. There's no question that bodily exercise is of some value. You remember when Brother Justin was going through 1 Timothy, we found that out in chapter 4, verse 8. Bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way. Physical strength is not what Paul has in mind when he speaks to Timothy here or writes to Timothy in this letter. There is a little profit with the bodily exercise, no doubt, but godliness profits in every way. So Paul says, Timothy, you need to be strengthened, not to become physically strong, but to be strengthened to become spiritually strong. You need to become strong in godliness. The gym membership is not the solution to this strength here. You need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You need to become stronger and stronger because you're depending upon the grace of God in Christ Jesus as you carry out your ministry. The grace that is in Christ Jesus, the favor of God, has been displayed towards sinners in the anointed Savior. So as we begin to consider this grace that is in Christ Jesus, it is indeed God's grace in Christ Jesus. That grace is the way by which anyone is saved. We're talking about conversion at the first, because we need to think about grace in a couple different ways. There is saving grace, converting grace. We know that oft repeated verse, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is a gift of God." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. But we also need to focus upon the fact that once you have received God's saving grace, His converting grace, that it is God's grace in Christ Jesus that will enable you to live the Christian life. We need God's favor and enablement to be continually upon us. And so Paul would say these words, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Listen closely. He said, "His grace toward me," the Lord's grace toward me, Paul, "was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." So there is a grace to save your soul, but there's a grace from God that enables you to live the Christian life and to carry out, in this case, the Christian ministry. That was from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. And so, two aspects there. What part could Timothy have in getting Christ's strengthening grace? You might say, "I didn't think we could go and get the grace of God. I thought it was a gift that's given to us." What part could Timothy have in getting this grace? Yes, God's grace is a gift. It is unmerited favor. But we must live in light of the grace that God has given. We must not deny His grace. We must not live in a different way. So what way does Timothy need to live? Well, if you want to think about God's converting grace, he needs to remember that it is only the grace of God that has saved him. Timothy will be strengthened when he remembers that it is the power of God who has saved him. We, again, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, "The power of God," verse 9, "who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." Timothy will be strengthened as he remembers the reason that he's even a Christian, the reason that he even has a desire to glorify God and to fulfill the ministry that God has given to him. It's because God has first saved him by his own power. That, as a Christian considers God's grace toward them, that should give strength. It's not my power that started this relationship and this with God or this walk, this Christian walk. No, it is God who has initiated. It's God's grace and His power upon me has begun the Christian life. But also, Timothy will be strengthened when he is reminded that God's grace is what enables him to carry on. What I mean is that if Timothy tried to labor in his own strength, now this was, Paul was experiencing what we would call real persecution, right? For someone to just speak a little ill of you or say, "Oh, I don't want to hear that, get away from me," that's one thing. But for someone to put chains around your hands and to put you in prison because of your stand for Christ. And so Timothy is going to be called to share in that suffering. He's already been called there. Timothy needs to realize that he needs some power more than his own. If Timothy tried to labor in his own strength, I would say he would be denying grace. But if Timothy continually dependent upon God to enable him to labor for the gospel, then he is laboring by Christ's strengthening grace, knowing that it is the Lord who is giving him power for the ministry. Sometimes you might feel yourself very weak in the Christian life. That is good. Feel yourself very weak. But also know that God is very strong. And he has grace. He gives grace to his people to live the Christian life. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ. And so the hymn writer would say, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor the day I was converted, I'm constrained to be." No, he doesn't sing that. That's not written there in the hymn. "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." Brethren, we have to get hold of this fact that we must be strengthened by God's grace daily throughout the Christian life. And so there is saving grace, of course. There is a gifting grace. Whatever abilities and talents you have, God has given them to you by his grace. There is providing grace. So as you look ahead and throughout this life, you can look back and say, "Well, God has given grace to provide for me thus far to live on this earth. But, oh, I can trust him and be strengthened by the fact that he has providing grace for the future." And, of course, there is strengthening grace. Kent Hughes says, "Nothing that we will encounter in guarding the gospel will exceed God's grace." If Timothy has been charged to guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to him, as we saw earlier in chapter 1 of this letter, he will need the grace of God in order to fulfill that call. And so nothing that a minister, or for a Christian for that matter, in their Christian testimony, nothing that they could encounter will exceed God's grace. So what does, we know the power by which Timothy must go forward in his ministry. What does Timothy need power to do? What is this ministry? At least part of it we find in verse 2. "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Timothy has been entrusted with the gospel. Paul spoke these important words to him, the important words of the gospel. In addition, he spoke how a gospel church ought to function. We know that Timothy has gotten the truth, and he has heard these words in the presence of many witnesses. He needs to guard this deposit entrusted to him. It's by the Holy Spirit that dwells with him that he will guard this good deposit. So he's got it. Timothy's received. He's been entrusted with this good news and all of this truth. Now he is to entrust this truth, these words, to others. It is not God's design that his truth be given to you and that you only keep it for yourself. There's this great importance that God puts upon the fact that he wills that his word is spread. Make disciples of all nations. I mean, teach the nations the truth that you have been given. And so Timothy is supposed to find faithful men. These are men who are loyal to the Lord. Paul doesn't say, spend all your time with just anybody that you can find, but he says, find faithful men, those that are loyal to the Lord. For this particular command, we find in verse 2. So once Timothy knows the men are faithful to the Lord, then he is to teach the truth that he has been taught. And then finally, those men will be able to teach others. And we see the progression. So God has chosen to use this method to spread his truth, and he has continued it throughout the ages. Faithful men are taught the word of truth, then they teach the word of truth to others. We must not miss this point. Timothy was a witness for the Lord to everyone. Fulfill the work of, to do the work of an evangelist, we find. So we know that he's to be good newsing to everybody. But verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a particular focus of his ministry, one part of it where he has a responsibility to train up other gospel ministers. Paul could not do it all. Timothy could not do it all. There's a continual need for gospel ministers to be trained up. Teach faithful men who can teach. Timothy is commanded to take on minister training in the midst of his wider gospel ministry. And so Timothy needs Christ's strengthening grace. Because you, if you're Timothy and you're hearing this exhortation, you might begin to get nervous and think, how could I possibly do this? I've got so much stuff to do. I've got to share the gospel with everyone that I can. And then now I've got to focus on some men and pour into them particularly so that then they can go and minister the gospel as well. So Timothy needs Christ's strengthening grace. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hendrickson writes that Paul is about to depart from this life. He carried the gospel torch long enough, and then he hands it to Timothy, who in turn must pass it on to others. I'm thankful that Pastor Mark has taken on this responsibility. I have been blessed by him teaching me, and now I must teach others. And not just me, there's been many that Pastor Mark's poured into. The church, congregation as a whole, should rejoice that you're in a church that the whole counsel of God is considered. And may we obey it all. There are some churches that have large gatherings of people. And one in particular that I asked a brother that knows the minister, and I said, is he training any other men for the work of the ministry? He said, no, he's not. And he ministers to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And the question is there not one or two that the Lord is raising up out of that congregation to minister the gospel? I'm sure there is, but that pastor's not chosen to take on that labor. So we as a congregation can rejoice that the Lord has blessed Pastor Mark with that perspective, and we would say has blessed this congregation. Apparently, Brother Ron had that burden as well and labored for the teaching of Pastor Mark. Timothy has one thing to do, and that is certainly to teach those that can teach others. In verse 3, we see that he is to suffer as a soldier of Christ and to focus on pleasing the Lord. So he's going to need strengthening grace in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. This is the second time that Paul commands Timothy to share in sufferings. The first time we saw in chapter 1, verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. First time we heard about what power he was going to suffer. Now, Paul tells Timothy to suffer as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Before, it seems to bring the attention upon Paul's suffering as the Lord's servant. He's the prisoner of Christ, we saw there in chapter 1, verse 8. But here, chapter 2, verse 3, Paul brings Timothy's attention to the fact that he is a soldier of Christ Jesus as well. It would be easy for Timothy to kind of consider Paul, oh yeah, you're really out there fighting the battle. You're really in the thick of it. And now Paul puts it back on him and says, don't just suffer and kind of support me out here in the trenches in the battlefield, but you, Timothy, are to be suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So Timothy is not to remain at home while Paul is off to war as a soldier for Christ Jesus. He's in the battle as well. Timothy is actually to march alongside of Paul in these labors of the gospel, a soldier of Christ. So share in suffering. You could put it this way, join me in suffering. Endure hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. Again, by what power? Chapter 1, we found that that would be by the power of God. Here, I will connect it with verse 1 of chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're going to enter into suffering, oh, you need grace. The grace that is in Christ Jesus to be strengthened and enabled and to see that there is a good reason to go through this suffering. If you have a good reason to suffer, you can endure a lot. But if you're suffering for unrighteousness or for sinful purposes, it would be a torment. But be strengthened. You're suffering for a good purpose because you are a soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4, he goes on, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. If you know you are in war, you're not going to be distracted by the regular business of life. If you know you're in war, it would help you to not be distracted by the regular business of life. A soldier's priority is not to worry over the grass being the best looking in all the neighborhood, is it? I wouldn't imagine any warrior, any soldier that's been in war, I don't think he's wondering, now, does my yard look the best out of all the yards in the neighborhood? If I really got it manicured up? No, that's not his focus. His focus will not be on the car being perfectly polished. You say, well, he's off to war. But I'm bringing your attention to the focus of the soldier of the Lord. He is to be focused on pleasing the one who enlisted him. Timothy has been enlisted by the Lord to be a soldier for the Lord in this gospel ministry. Timothy is to go to battle like a good soldier wherever the Lord leads him. And that probably means that Timothy will suffer. You know, we find out at the end of the letter to the Hebrews, it says that Timothy's been released. So it seems as though in due time, Timothy would actually spend his time in prison as well. He needs to be strengthened. And this strength is from the Lord, focusing upon the fact that indeed God has saved him and God will give him grace to go through whatever the gospel ministry, whatever the Christian life will come into his path. As long as Timothy is clear about being a soldier for Christ, then Timothy will know to be focused on the Lord's battles, not on the cares of this life. Because what do? They entangle or consume many people. If Timothy's focus is on how good the yard looked, then he would lose focus on being a good soldier of Christ. If Timothy was focused on having a chariot that was perfectly polished, then he would lose focus on being a good soldier of Christ. And I hope that by the Holy Spirit's power, what is coming to your mind of potential ways that you can be distracted from serving the Lord Christ. And hear this passage of Scripture that says, don't get entangled. Don't get entangled. Does that mean that you ought not cut your grass? Some municipalities, you're going to get a ticket. And if you wait long enough, they'll send somebody out there to mow it and send you the bill. I'm not saying don't cut your grass. I'm not saying you can't wash your car. But that's not our life, brethren. Our life is not bound up in the things of this world. We are serving the Lord. These examples that I have given are to point out that we should not let anything entangle or distract us from being good soldiers for Christ. This is especially important for me to hear. As a minister of the gospel and those called to be ministers of the gospel, this is especially important for us to hear. So Timothy must suffer as a soldier for Christ and focus on pleasing the Lord. Oh, he needs grace. He needs grace. Be strengthened. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Meditate on that gospel, that good news. Let Christ be your life. That you are so delighted to be found with a righteousness not your own. and that you might rejoice in the Lord, and then you can go forward with the strength of the Lord, because you're depending upon him, knowing that he will give you grace. Timothy must follow Christ's direction. Verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. If you're going to participate in an athletic event, you must know the rules. Micah could tell us about playing basketball. I saw a clip of him with some pretty smooth moves on playing basketball. But I can tell you, you must know the rules. If you play basketball by kicking the ball down the court, kicking the ball up in to make the basket, you will not get any points and you will not win the game. You must know the rules. If you play soccer by picking up the ball with your hands and you run down the field and you throw the ball into the goal, you will get a penalty, not a goal, and you certainly will not win the game. You must know the rules. Timothy, you must know the Lord's rules for engaging in the gospel ministry. Timothy, you must not follow your own ideas, but you must follow Christ's direction. Timothy, you must minister according to the word of God. Paul's letter to Timothy, we understand to be the inspired word of God. Paul is telling Timothy to understand the proper way to serve the Lord. Follow Christ's direction. You need grace not to lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so, serve the Lord as a good soldier. Focus upon pleasing him. Follow his direction. Don't try to go your own way and come up with some innovative ministry or some innovative gospel witness for that matter. Use the example from the scriptures. Verse 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Again, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's talking about the labor for the Lord. And so he brings these elements of the soldier and the athlete and now the farmer into his mind here. He writes to him about this. Would it be right for a hardworking farmer not to get any fruit for his labor? I'll put it to you. Would it be right if you planted a garden? You worked hard to tend the garden. You continually weed the garden. You water the garden. Maybe even have to carry buckets of water over to water it. Day after day, you go out in the hot sun to do this work. And then your neighbor comes and picks the garden, and you get no produce. This verse says that the hardworking farmer ought to have the first share of the crops. Not just part of the fruit, but the first share of the crops. So Timothy must be hardworking for the Lord. The labor will not be easy, but Timothy must realize that his labor for the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain, Timothy. There is a reward. It is no small reward. It is like the first share of the crops. Encouragement to share in suffering as a good soldier for Christ Jesus is necessary for Timothy. He needs encouragement. Excuse me. He needs encouragement. He needs to work hard. He needs to know that there is a reward from the Lord. We need encouragement to labor for the Lord. It will be worth it. It will be worth it. Of course, there is eternal joy. But when Peter said to Jesus, when he said, "Well, look, we've left everything and followed you," do you know Jesus responded back to him and said, "You're going to receive 100-fold back in this life and in the life to come? Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, houses, and lands." There is a blessing for serving the Lord and living for him even now. Work hard for Christ. There is a reward. And the conclusion is, think about what I say, Timothy. Verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think about what I've written. Fill your mind with this truth. Paul knows that Timothy might have some trouble understanding everything that he's written. Understanding, or, I mean, it might be head knowledge, but to live it out, there might be difficulty. He says, continually think about this. Continually meditate on these things that I've told you. The Lord will give you understanding. It's kind of like in the Christian life, as we walk with the Lord for a while, then we can look back and we say, throughout this time, the Lord has given me much understanding, much grace to go through things that I never would have wanted to approach in the past. But now I can go through it calmly, not kicking and screaming. Think over what I say. The Lord's going to give you understanding. We must consider and think over the Word of God, knowing that the Lord will give us understanding. He will fill our mind with the truth and ultimately fill our life with the truth. Think over what? Well, going back to just this passage, share in suffering. How about that one? You and I, we're sitting here fairly comfortable. We're not worried about anybody busting in and stopping the service and shackling us and taking us off to prison for being gathered to worship the Lord at this moment. But what if we were in such a place where that was a possibility? Share in suffering. For the spread of the gospel, for the worship of God. Sometimes when you worship God, you will suffer. And so, within these verses, I was considering the fact that saints throughout the ages have been thinking over the Word of God. They have been strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus. Gospel ministers have obeyed the words to Timothy to teach men the biblical truth so that they can teach others. They have suffered as soldiers of the Lord, Christians at large. If you're called to the gospel ministry or not, throughout the ages, saints have suffered for the Lord. They focused on pleasing the Lord. They followed Christ's direction. They've worked hard for the Lord, knowing that there is a reward. They have received Christ's strengthening grace throughout their life. And Charles Spurgeon was one such saint. I know we hear about him a lot, but this week I read Spurgeon's last words from the pulpit. And I do think that they're fitting close to the message. He was dealing with a different passage. But the point is, being a good soldier for Christ, laboring for the Lord, and what blessing and what reward comes from it. He writes, "What I have to say lastly is this, how greatly I desire that you who are not yet enlisted in my Lord's band would come to him, because you see what kind of gracious Lord he is. Young men, if you could see our captain, you would down on your knees and beg him to let you enter the ranks of those who follow him. It is heaven to serve Jesus." Now, this is what Spurgeon says. This is, again, words from his last sermon. "It is heaven to serve Jesus." Spurgeon writes, "I am a recruiting sergeant, and I would fain find a few recruits at this moment." Every man must serve somebody. I'd say every person must serve somebody. We have no choice as to that fact. Those who have no master are slaves to themselves. Depend upon it, you will either serve Satan or Christ, either self or the Savior. You will find sin, self, Satan, and the world to be hard masters. But if you wear the uniform of Christ, you will find him so meek and lowly of heart that you will find rest for your souls. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When we think of who Christ Jesus was, the Savior of sinners, known for being meek and lowly of heart, and that sinners might find rest for their souls in him. Oh, may we be made strong to serve him. He is the most magnanimous of captains. There never was his like among the choices of princes. He is always to be found in the thickest part of the battle. When the wind blows cold, he always takes the bleak side of the hill. The heaviest end of the cross lies ever on his shoulders. If he bids us carry a burden, he carries it also. If there is anything that is gracious, generous, kind, and tender, yea, lavish and superabundant in love, you always find it in him. Spurgeon's been thinking over these things, I'll tell you. He's been walking with the Lord. These 40 years and more I have served him. Blessed be his name. And I have had nothing but love from him. I would be glad to continue yet another 40 years in the same dear service here below, if it pleased him. His service is life, peace, joy. Oh, that you would enter on it at once. God help you to enlist under the banner of Jesus, even this day. Spurgeon was strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is exhorting Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You got a lot to do, but you've got to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and then you've got to walk in light of that, live in light of that grace. Be strengthened daily by God's provision and supply in Christ. For God has saving grace, gifting grace, enabling grace, providing grace, abounding grace, and strengthening grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your instruction from your word, most specifically Paul to Timothy, and then to gospel ministers and how they ought to carry out their ministry and how they ought to live, serving the Lord as a good soldier of Christ, and to all of us Christians. We need to be strengthened. We need to serve the Lord, for there is a great reward. To know you and to be used for eternal purposes and spreading this gospel news, I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us so much with your word that guides us continually in the proper paths. We are so thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to give us understanding. Lord, would you give us grace to think over these things? And so Jesus, I ask this. Amen.